With over 200 flavor notes to discover, Woodford Reserve is more than just a spirit. It's a spectacle for the senses. Toast to 150 years of the Kentucky Derby with the best bet in bourbon. Raise a glass of Woodford Reserve on this monumental celebration.
Live from State Street in the heart of Chicago, you are listening to the new home of the Chicago Bears, ESPN Chicago. And this is Carmen and Yurko, WMVP, WSHE, HD2, Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
What a gorgeous day. Nice day for baseball. 12:30 pregame, 1 o'clock, just after 1 will be the first pitch on the south side, as the White Sox and Twins will wrap up their three-game series. And the White Sox will try to avoid the sweep, Yurko. 6-24, you know.
I'm staying positive.
Am I allowed to be a little critical?
I'm still dreaming of 67, Carm, if they can play 500 baseball the rest of the way.
Is it weird that I'm a little upset they beat Cinco de Mayo? I'm a little upset about it. You know,
I mean, I want my team to be better,
but geez, we can always.
You're 6-24.
We could only put things out there that they keep trying to achieve. I think every time we put it out there, the challenge, they try to achieve it. I wouldn't know what to do. 10 and what? 10 and Mother's Day, 10 and what, yeah, you know, 10 for Mother's Day. I'm trying to understand, a dozen for Mother's Day, like a dozen roses.
I feel like there's nothing left after Cinco de Mayo, and I was really kind of hoping. I'm like, boy, it'd be funny if they did not
have five. Tampa came to town.
Yeah, Tampa's not very good.
And they went on a streak. Tommy Pham was acquired, and the next thing you know, good baseball was being played.
Well, up until the last couple of nights where they lost another close one, a couple of one-run losses to the Twins. The Twins were 7-13 before the White Sox went there last week, and then they swept the White Sox in four, and they haven't lost since.
They've ripped
up nine straight. They got the home run Sazic, and they're having a glorious time.
We're a couple of games away from being 20% of the way through the season, where you kind of can figure out what your team is or what it is not. I mean, we're there.
I think we know.
So I think, you know, with the Cubs, you look at the Cubs and you say, hey, okay, that's what we thought they were. They're a team that was going to compete for the division, possibly be victorious in their division. That's where they're at.
Yeah.
But I didn't think Milwaukee was going to be up there.
Milwaukee's been good. Yeah. I can't believe how competitive the AL Central's been. I don't think that'll sustain all season, but boy, is it a hell of a lot better than we thought it was going to be.
I didn't think
either Central was going to be too good.
Well, I mean, it's
right
early
now,
too,
it is early. No, I agree. Both Centrals, there's some good baseball being played in both Central divisions.
They haven't missed Corbin Burns yet, right?
No.
They haven't missed him. We all thought they were going to miss him, and it seems like they haven't missed him, so...
Yeah, there's some good baseball being played in both those divisions right now. And, you know, we'll see. Like you said, it's very early. We're only flipping the calendar into May today. So we got a long way to go. Brewers have been good on offense. We did have a feeling that the Brewers are going to be better on offense than they've been in recent years. And maybe they can overcome some of the pitching deficiencies that they might have between injury and losses to the starting rotation, mainly Corbin Burns being traded. But that offense has lived up to some of the preseason hype and has been pretty good so far this year. I didn't know we'd, how do you put it?
You didn't know we'd what, Carm?
Piss so many people off by being critical of the Bears drafting a punter.
Well.
But boy, that's been the case the last couple of days. You know, something got reposted on the social pages of ESPN Chicago yesterday.
What'd you post, Carm?
I didn't post it. The station did. Okay. I didn't post anything. The station account, the ESPN account posted something. Somebody said we're the clickbaity. Do you know what the definition of clickbait is? I wonder for the person who posted that. I don't think you know what clickbait is.
He probably doesn't.
You know, we're talk show hosts and we were reacting the day after the draft to something.
What was your grade against the draft?
That seems to be.
What was your grade against the draft?
Oh, an A minus. Yeah.
And no, I was an A minus. She went to a B plus.
I know. We were joking around because of punter. I still give the Bears an A. I mean, I was being a little hyperbolic. I was being sarcastic.
I wasn't.
The Bears got an A minus.
I gave him an A minus. Yeah. That's what I gave him. A minus. It's a pretty damn good draft, don't you think?
Yes.
Except for one pick.
Yes.
I wasn't critical. Was I critical of the individual?
No, of course not. He might be terrific.
No, I wasn't critical of the individual. What was I critical of?
Spending fourth round draft capital on
the arrogance of the general manager taking a punter in the fourth round on what he believes must be a team that has no holes, which I think is foolish.
I think it was going to be hard to make this team.
I think it's foolish. Okay, that's what I was saying. that it seemed to me there was an arrogance with your general manager to pick a punter in the fourth round. That's what I said. That's not being critical of the punter. It's being critical of the general manager. Now that you've got a crystal clear understanding of exactly what I'm talking about, that's fair criticism. I don't care if he goes on Pat McAfee's show and they sit there and they have themselves a little slobber fest with each other.
Poles is going on today.
I know he is. But my point is, I don't care if they have themselves a little love fest. You know, if they hug and they embrace and they have themselves a little bit of love fest, that's good for them.
I don't think it'll be live. But
I don't care about what their little personal relationships are.
Yeah.
I'm offering you an honest analysis of what I see. And also recognition of what this club is right now and the fact that it is not a complete club. That it's got a little bit of distance to go. And it's got some improvements from the players that are here that we hope manifest itself during the offseason, during training camp, during the weightlifting sessions and everything going into this year. And obviously you got to stay healthy is a big part of that too. So, you know, for those people that don't understand, too bad for you. I don't care.
We've angered a lot of people, though, yeah. You know.
I'm sure they're not losing any sleep. I'm sure they're going
to
be fine.
Do you guys want me to read you some mean tweets
here? I was
going
to say, I've got a bunch. You want to read them to you guys?
Okay.
I've also reacted to some of these people just to let them know how I think.
Oh, God.
What are these people?
God,
Steve305, Dale, says this is the worst show on ESPN 1000.
I responded, I said, you mean the best.
Well, I didn't respond to him at all.
Comeback,
I don't think
you
like that.
Each and everyone is entitled to their opinion. Just keep listening, and I believe you do.
Dove46_stream says, all the biggest clickbaiters work in ESPN Chicago. Is it any surprise?
I don't think he knows what clickbait is.
I don't think he knows either.
He doesn't seem that bright.
Well, I wouldn't say that. I don't mean that.
You
might be very bright individual.
I didn't ask you to say it.
I'm telling you
it's what I said.
But I think Dove46 has a... I think he should look up the definition of clickbait and maybe come up with a different insult for us. I mean, you can insult us for a lot of reasons.
He doesn't seem bright.
But yeah, that's a gross misunderstanding of what clickbait is.
Next one.
Kingslayer, SLEIGHERR,
says... that's too much.
Between having the worst punter in the league last year, new kickoff rules, and this being an historically shallow draft class, this is a bad take. Carmen York were both presented with analytics that suggested this pick makes sense, and they kept just ignoring them.
Oh,
LOL.
Boy, analytics.
The kickoff. What does the kickoff have to do?
Nobody's ever had numbers in the NFL before. It just like came in the popularity last year.
Do we think he'll be some sort of kickoff specialist? But that seemed to be shot down pretty quick. So if that's not the case, what do the new kickoff rules have to do with drafting a punter? Anybody?
None.
Maybe they're finding something for him that nobody is familiar with.
And again, in terms of the analytics, you have to wonder the difference between the so-called best punter and an average punter.
Is 1.5 yards.
And even if we had in more in-depth analytic numbers, not just counting stat numbers, I think what you'd find is there's not a huge disparity between what is the perceived best punter and a perceived middle of the road punter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we very much are always, I am always embracing analytics. Are you kidding me? There's no analytic justification for spending fourth round capital on a punter.
And nobody's been
on somebody
critical.
Who should only punt about three times
nobody
a game.
Nobody has been critical of the Iowa punter.
No, not at all.
Of the young man himself. Nobody has been critical of that. It's been critical of the decision made.
He seems to be good at what he does.
To draft him. Yeah. So for all those Iowa people, the sycophants that take that personally, well, then you also need to understand the English language. So we apologize that you don't.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's done a good job yet of answering my question, like between the first and the middle. I mean, Chris and Adam said 1.5 yards, but I mean, like from a deep analytic dive, how replaceable is that position? How like fungible is that position? And what are you really gaining by having, again, the perceived best? That nobody seems to be able to answer that.
Big Samo 80 says it's not arrogance. It's a level of competence that you obviously don't have when you only have 4 draft picks, but you identify a special punter that has the leg strength, hang time, and ball placement skills to consistently give your top 5 defense an advantageous field position to do it.
Always. Special. special
ball.
I have a feeling the Bears. Well, okay, he said it will aid the top five defense. Mm-hmm. Okay, at least he put it that way.
Yeah. NFL High Times says, "Tell me you don't know ball without telling me you don't know ball." What is he doing? Filling a major hole in the roster. It was a huge right. need. Huge need.
Major.
You use the draft and free agency to fill roster needs.
Oh, it's funny. I didn't hear anybody. I don't recall seeing one comment.
Not one in the 4 months leading up to the draft.
In the 4 months leading up to the draft, talking about the great need that was punter.
McFly. Hello.
I heard a lot of O-line. I heard a lot of tackle. I heard a lot of center. I heard a lot of defensive end.
Quarterback.
I heard quarterback.
Quarterback. Yeah.
I never once.
A young receiver. I heard that.
I never once heard all these brilliant Bear fans who know so much about football saying that it was a huge need, that punter.
Especially Iowa grads. I didn't hear any Iowa grads beforehand saying we need to grab a kicker or punter in the fourth round.
It's funny how convenient.
I didn't hear one.
How convenient it is to look back now and be like, of course it was a huge need. We didn't field one. What would you say on average per week? 100 calls a week?
100 calls a week.
100 a week?
100 a week. On average.
Thousands of calls.
Okay, 1,000. I'll go with Chris. Thousands of calls.
How many?
Let's say 500 calls a week.
How many calls for replacing the punter?
There wasn't one on any show, there wasn't one that said, boy, guys, a huge need, I'll tell you. Punter, they better grab one of their four picks.
But Ryan Poles is playing chess, and we're playing checkers.
Afterwards, they're like, what a great pick. It was such a huge need. Oh, Trenton Gill, who they couldn't name 4 months ago, was so bad last year, they just had to replace Trenton Gill. It's hilarious.
The Swifty Sports Network says it takes a certain level of ignorance to say something this stupid about Ryan Poles. That's me at Yurko 64.
What did I say about Ryan Poles?
You said he was arrogant.
I said it's an arrogant pick.
I think that tweet is
at number four.
I mean, I'm picking up a hint of sarcasm.
Oh, okay.
Tweet. Well, the way he wrote it.
You're picking it up.
I'm picking up a hint of
it.
Sarcasm.
You don't use sarcasm in social media. It never comes to
JV1437 says, all they do is bitch and moan. They are my least favorite show of any show.
You mean
they
favorite show?
They are so negative and never happy with anything any Chicago team does. It's unbearable.
Well, haters. You haters.
Yeah, maybe you should be happy that I think Craig Counsell won that game for the Cubs yesterday.
They lost yesterday.
Well, the team lost it. I think Craig Counsell and his management style won it.
That doesn't make sense.
But the team lost it, yeah.
That doesn't make any sense.
In spite of their great manager, I think the team lost it.
CB
ahead.
Sports says, if you can positive. Get a 10-plus year day one starter in the fourth round, you do it.
There are
three phases of the game.
There are three phases. They're just not equal.
Guys, I'm here to celebrate the fourth phase.
The fans.
He said that right. There are three phases.
Yeah, they're not equal.
No.
Upgrading one of the worst punters in the game to the best in the draft. Arrogance isn't the word here. Upgrading is more like it, guys.
Oh God, it's amazing.
Boom.
Yeah.
Roasted.
It is amazing.
Boom, roasted.
God, I feel hot. I'm getting warm in here. I'm getting roasted.
You all right?
So bad.
You're getting so roasted.
I don't know what's going on.
It's
my
amazing.
Buns are
torched.
It's amazing.
That's what you have.
This take is so... Oh, this is from Paul Chandler 1, as opposed to Paul Chandler 0.
Paul Chandler
this
2.
Take is, yeah, this take,
somebody
this
may
take
have taken
is so
his.
Overplayed. In my honest opinion, IMHO, in today's NFL, how many fourth rounders are all pros? We were dead last in punting last year. This is the consensus best punter in a long time. I'm good with it.
Consensus.
I mean, we have Caleb and Rome. Bear down.
No, I agree with them there.
Well, we already talked about Caleb and Rome, and we gave them an A-plus for those two picks.
I agree with them.
But, of course,
there.
They don't listen to that, but that's not a problem.
Can I ask a question?
Listen. Yeah.
I know you guys kind of mentioned this before. Do people watch football?
I don't know. I don't know. I really don't. I think people like to pretend that they do, but I don't know.
I think a lot of people watch football with their fantasy team right next to them and watch the points add up, and that's all they see.
I don't know. I don't know what to say.
I mean, I know what happens when the Bears fail on third down. I go to relieve myself.
Well, yeah.
I go to make sure the cheese from my nachos is melted enough. In the microwave. That way I can pour it on my nachos.
I think you just have a certain expectation that, like, some things happen in special teams. You expect them to go, like, kind of as you imagine.
What's more impactful? I'm going to ask you a question. What's more impactful? A punt inside the 20 or a punt block? What's more impactful on the football game?
Well, I would say a punt block.
Of course, a punt block. Absolutely. A punt block is more important. A punt never puts points on the board. Now, you'll have some people out there to say, oh, but a punt can take points off the board. But if I'm not being successful from the 40-yard line anyway, and I'm not going for it, and you're punting, your punter's lined up at the, if you're punting from the 40, he's lined up at his own 45.
Right.
Right? What is that? 20 out of 20? That ball's going to be inside the 20-yard line? It's going to be the 20 you're in, right? Mm-hmm. It's going to be a touchback, or you're going to end up catching it at the 10-yard line.
Yeah.
Whatever's going to happen, right?
Yeah.
As long as your punt coverage team doesn't screw it up,
right?
That ball's going to be inside the 20. We all know what the percentages are, that when you get the ball inside the 20, what it is to drive the length of the field. Some teams are more successful than others, but over the course of a whole football season, there are percentages of that, right? So is it more concern when you fail on the third down or when you put a punt inside the 10-yard line? What's better? I mean, not what's better.
What's
if you
worse?
Complete a fourth down, if you complete a fourth down, you go for it on fourth and something from the 40, and you make your first down. Is that more impactful on you than putting the ball inside the 10-yard line?
Of course.
So I can name you a thousand things are much more successful and much better for your football team than putting a ball inside the 10. But that's not taking away from the importance of when you have a job to do to go out there and do it.
Yeah, that's sort of my expectation on special teams.
Right.
So I don't watch it all that closely either. It's normally, okay, let's see what's happening now in this other game. Okay, the punt team's on. It's like, all right, let's check out this other action. I sort of have an expectation that guys should do their jobs reasonably well. And
he's the best punter.
You know, like kickers these days, unless it's a standalone game and unless the game's on the line, how often do you like wait on the edge of your seat to watch the 38-yarder? You really don't, right?
I should expect...
You sort of expect your kickers to make 40-yard field goals.
I should expect a flawed thinking process to this when people started to expect that he's the best at his position, and for one reason or another, that seemed to mean something. As it went with Devin Hester.
Yeah, all right.
Kickoff returner is not a position. Neither is punt returner. They're not positions. There's 22 positions on the football field. Those guys are the ones that start the game on defense and offense. Everything else is superfluous, including Adam Vinatieri and the crap that people want to put him into the Hall of Fame. Just remember.
He's going.
I said that.
He's going, my man. You better believe that. When is he going to the
Hall of Fame? And if I'm forced.
How long has he been out now?
Against my will to go to the Hall of Fame game.
Oh, you're going to go.
Which will be my fourth, by the way.
Next year will be Vinatieri.
Hey, I've been fourth. This is my fourth Hall of Fame game. If I am forced to be there, I can guarantee you my Sweet Acre Panachkis will be hightailing it west. Manifest Destiny at 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock Eastern time, 3 o'clock Central. I will go west, young man.
Go west, young man.
Straight down Route 30.
Manifest
Destiny, my friend.
You're funny. You're going to get mean tweets about that. We'll be right back.
I don't care.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
I'll save some of this for tomorrow, this Matt Miller article that he's got up on ESPN.com. He's one of the good draft analysts that they have. And I told you on Monday that his favorite pick, just from a story they did over the weekend with he and Jordan Reed, his favorite pick in the fifth round was Austin Booker. He updated, or he made a list of like his 100 best pick steals and fits from this last weekend.
Right.
Boy, he's got some love for the Bears, man, and it's fantastic.
Good.
It is. It's great. Maybe we can get a little bit more in depth with it tomorrow because we got a short show today. We're off at 12:30 for White Sox pregame. Roma Dunze was his favorite pick of the draft.
At nine.
Just in terms of like where, like the value that the Bears got. Yeah.
Would you say the pundits got more this year's draft right than they have in a long period of time?
Kind of seemed like it.
Didn't it seem that way?
Yeah.
I mean, with the surprise Tennessee not getting all to him going fifth.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing, just a little flippity floppity right there.
But even if I think everybody knew he was in play a little bit
right,
still.
Right, but 1, 2, 3, 4 went exactly like everybody thought it was. 9 did.
Yeah.
Nobody could see what 8 was happening. I think there's one guy who had Michael Penix Jr. going at 8 in the country.
Was it Baldy?
One guy.
Didn't Baldy like say that the Falcons were going to take a quarterback?
I don't know. I haven't heard anything he's had to say in a long time.
I like Baldy.
But I thought there was somebody else that said that they had predicted that it was going to be Michael Penix Jr.
Odunze was his best pick of the draft. Caleb was his second best pick of the draft. And then another Bear pick. Sorry for all you punter fans. It wasn't the punter. Austin Booker, who I told you, he thought it was the best pick of the fifth round. He's got it as the 41st best overall pick of the draft, considering where they got him. He was his 87th ranked prospect, and the Bears got him at 144. So he's got three picks that the Bears had, you know, three of his top 41 picks that the Bears ended up selecting were like his favorite picks of the draft. That's fantastic. Let's go to Marcus in Woodstock. What's up, Marcus?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Thanks for having my call.
You got it.
What do you got for us, babe?
Well, I love you guys. I love the show. And I'm just sick of this stupid, unnecessary hate towards you guys because you're giving actual great analysis and breakdown. And a lot of it comes from the fact that you guys called out Justin Fields for what it was. He did not make the plays necessary. They needed to make a change at quarterback, and I'm glad the Bears did. And there's so many fans that I think still got all this animosity towards you, towards Yurt, because you told the truth and you broke it down. Picking a punter in the fourth round, was not smart. There's how many? Let me ask these fans this. How many other teams picked a punter in the fourth round? And you're going to tell me you couldn't have waited to the fifth to get that punter? You could have got a better player of value in the fourth round. Nobody else was going to draft that kid from Iowa in the fourth round.
Well, maybe not. I don't know. Marcus, thank you. Very kind of you. Oh, somebody was going to draft him eventually. Maybe in the fourth round.
Robert Mathis, to go back to the defensive end, Booker, that was drafted, right?
Austin Booker.
Right. Robert Mathis, fifth-round draft choice, 123 sacks.
Damn.
You can find guys in later rounds, but you got to be able to come in, and he was opposite of Freeney. Yeah. And the two of them really together played
wreaked havoc.
Bookend defensive ends, and they were all over people. And that's what you need. You need somebody opposite of Sweat.
Yes.
So at least it was addressed, and he felt like he could use next year's fourth rounder with the multitude of picks he had next year and move into the fifth round this year.
I'll tell you.
Fine. Let's hope the kid performs.
Yeah, and Matt Miller, for one, for what it's worth, he's a pretty good draft analyst. Like, he loves that pick by the Bears, so that's great to hear. Rob's in Bolingbrook. What's up, Rob?
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Great.
Good, good. Hey, well, I'm with Yurko on this one, and you guys that, you know, a lot of these guys talking, you know, they probably never played football in their lives. They're not really, you know, they definitely didn't play at the NFL level. But you know what? I was just taking a look at the Kansas City's picks. They picked two offensive linemen. Do we think that the Bears' offensive line is better than the Chiefs' offensive line? And we dare not draft one offensive lineman?
No, they did. They
did.
They drafted
the kid from Yale.
Yeah.
No. Don't get me wrong. That was a good pick too. But that was a backup swing tackle. We need a real interior lineman. You know, my biggest fear is that we're going to have the same thing happen again. We're going to have you think the guy from the Packers, Kenny, what's his name? Kenny,
who?
The big defensive lineman. Kenny Clark?
Yeah, Kenny Clark.
Kenny Clark destroyed us. The defensive line of the Packers destroyed our interior line. And the guys that we got, well, to patch it up.
I think they hope. Exactly, I think they hope. And Rob, thanks. They could have drafted the center; would have been fine. They have got
to stay healthy
in free agency.
Carm, they hope they've got to stay healthy, and they get to work together from this point on. Is what they're hoping for. That five, whatever five that's going to be, I think we know four of the five, and I believe we know who the center is.
I think it's going to be Bates.
Right. Yeah, that group gets to work together from this point on, and they can somehow stay injury-free for an extended period of time throughout the regular season, so you could see these guys become comfortable with each other is what I think they're hoping for. And like we said about the draft, we had some nice picks in this year's draft.
A lot, of course.
And we had talked about it. If Odunze was there, they were always going to take Odunze, and that's the way it ended up working out. So it worked out perfectly for the Chicago Bears. Listen, they're poised to win 11 games. The over-under is set where?
8.5.
They're poised to win 11 games. It's not high with 17 games. It's actually not high.
It's still a lot of wins.
I mean, you're barely winning two games, losing one. Two games, losing one. Two games, losing one. That's what it's at. You know what the schedule is. You know how paltry and weak the schedule is for the Chicago Bears. There's no gray area. It's what Vegas wants you to put your money on and what the realistic expectations are if you're a Bears fan, knowing the improvements that have been made over the offseason, and, of course, with the great punter that we all have now. this team is set to win 11 games.
That's there just a big improvement
no
from 7,
number
but you could
under
be right.
11.
Wow.
No right. number under 11. This team needs to be 11 and 6.
You're still talking about a rookie quarterback.
It may not win the division for you is the other thing that I'm telling you.
11.
It may not win the division for you, but I believe 11 is what we need.
A little aggressive to say that there's nothing less than 11 wins.
That's complimenting Ryan Poles for all you stupid idiots out there. And you know who you are.
I don't think that was
if it applies, you know who you are. If you don't think it applies to you, you're probably right. You probably got a semblance of football knowledge.
I don't think that was necessary.
Yeah, well, I did it anyway.
Well, see, I hate short shows like this. I wanted to talk about Tyrese Maxey last night, man. We'll do it tomorrow.
Ooh.
Come on, it was incredible.
Yeah,
he tied an MJ record in the Garden. White Sox and Twins are next. Connor's coming up. We'll see you tomorrow for a full ride.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.
1000, Chicago's home for sports.